grab our notes this evening, jump into the book of Acts.
Book of Acts. Does anyone need sermon notes real quick? I know that you just stick your hand in the air if you forgot to get one or missed one on the way in. Everyone's, oh, we got one. A couple over here. A couple of the college kids. We have to train these young people yet. See, it's good to have Hannah and Noah here. Appreciate that. We've already had, I don't know if they were laughing their heads off. I was laughing my heads off at supper tonight as we were at the house having some good fun. It's always a refreshment to have the young life come walking in the door and all the vim and vigor. Of course, give them a month or two into the semester, and then we'll be trying to cheer them up, you know. They'll be falling asleep in their soup at the table and stuff like that. But anyways, okay, so good to have them here. As we come to the book of Acts, I don't want to overstate or use superlatives that are too strong, but this book is for us as believers in the New Testament time a very, very critical foundational book for how we live and act and how we serve the Lord during this dispensation, this time. Again, I don't want to overstate it, but you need to know the stories of the book of Acts because they are foundational to how we do ministry and service. They give us the history behind where we've come, why we're doing what we're doing here. If I could encourage you to memorize, I am grateful. Maybe some of the passion is because long ago, I still remember, I had a great Bible teacher in ninth grade. That was the 1 year I went to the academy at Maranatha before my father moved and planted a church. And a teacher that was just fired up, but he also made us work hard. And he made us memorize, and I didn't realize and understand the value of it at that point as much as I do now, to memorize the whole content, essentially, of the book of Acts, an outline of the book of Acts, what was in each chapter, where you'd find the incidents, and so forth. But that history is very, very important to us because it impacts us directly. Old Testament history has significance and importance, and obviously we preach from that. In fact, we're in the book of Nehemiah right now, drawing some wonderful truth from it. But because it's Old Testament in a different dispensation under a different set of rules for the how to live out for the Lord, we have to draw principles from it. But here, we're dealing directly. There's no disconnect here. There's no gap in history, no change of how God works in his administration with Christians or believers at this point. And this is really important. Many times, churches have done wrong, or Christians have walked away from a right relationship with the Lord and a right functioning, a polity in how to live life because they don't understand this book. Now, to say all that, let me say this then too. Acts is a transitional book. It is moving. It is the book that moves us from an Old Testament setting to an entirely New Testament church setting. You say, well, doesn't Christ do that? Absolutely, he does. And this is the living out of all of the truth about Christ as our Savior and as our Lord and how he now wants to function with his children. It's a whole new body called the church. It's not a nation. It's not a nationality. It's a body that includes anyone who believes. And then they function in individual local places. And so it really helps us to live out our life. And when we don't understand it right, we make mistakes and it leads to divisions, wrong thinking, wrong polity. So in this transition, know that some of the stuff that happens early, it's because it's an apostolic age and God's authenticating the work of the apostles there, and then is coming, leading us to, by the end of the book of Acts, and then as that's all laid the groundwork for the rest of the New Testament, the epistles that are written by Paul and Peter, James and John and so forth, all that explanation there, we have a lot of historical and foundational truth in the book of Acts that we can, in a sense, hook it to and understand, oh, that's where it was going. That's why it needs to be done that way. So this is really important. And history is important because if you don't know where you've come from, you don't know where you're going to end up, right? We fail to learn from history and we make the same mistakes over again. Let's not do that. Let's not make the mistakes that are recorded for us in the book of Acts. Let's follow the example as they walk with the Lord and learn how to function as a church family. We see it for the first time, all those things. So the book of Acts is really important. As we look at our notes, the author is Luke. And I'm not going to reiterate everything from the book of Luke. Remember, Acts is part two of a long thesis by Luke, the physician. And so we see here, if you're not in Acts chapter 1, get there with me real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And just like in the book of Acts, I'm sorry, just like in the book of Luke, I'm going to get you confused one of these days, okay? Thank you that you keep your things straight. Just like in the book of Luke, Luke here in the book of Acts, real quickly, kind of gives us the idea and theme of where he's going, what it's all about. We don't have to wonder, and he does that same thing here. Verse 1, the former treatise, that's the book of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus. Oh, do you remember that name from the book of Luke? The name means friend of God. It was probably a real person, though. I don't need to redefine who Theophilus was. We don't know much about him other than his name. But it's very apparent that he's a follower of Christ, and Luke is now sharing with him foundational facts so that he knows the truth. And so no wonder he writes the book of Acts. So the former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. First big clue right in verse 1 of what Acts is about. Oh, Luke is about what Jesus began to do and teach. So what is Acts about? What he's continuing to do and to teach. And so that actually affects how Luke lays out the book of Acts and what it is that he emphasizes. It becomes very apparent that he is not telling you, this is not an encyclopedia of first century churches. You know, it doesn't go A through Z, 20 gazillion volumes, all right? It's one book. And so he's picking out very specific things through the history, though, in the book of Acts, unlike the book of Luke, although Luke is fairly chronological, the book of Acts is extremely chronological. Acts chapter 1 really does happen before Acts chapter 2, before Acts chapter 3, and so forth. It follows suit. It's in order. We really don't see anything out of chronological order at all in the book of Acts. It's falling right on top of one another. And yet, as he follows that chronology, he's picking out very important events, doings of Christ, and then very critical teachings. Now, when you've read through the book of Acts, almost all of you have, it's an easy book to read because a lot of things are happening. It's a fun one to go through. And you stop and consider and say, wait a second, teachings, there's teachings in the book of Acts? All of the sermons that are recorded, there are several really critical sermons. As I've talked with, specifically, although I've talked with preacher boys, some teenagers, I've taught them about preaching in years gone by, most of my thinking is about my boys, David and Daniel, and specifically, as we've talked about, what is New Testament preaching? How do you declare God's truth? And so forth. The book of Acts is in many ways our textbook on that. And I am so grateful that Luke recorded for us several sermons. Now, are they the full-length sermon? Highly doubtful. Okay? Highly doubtful. You remember later on at the end of books of Acts, the poor guy that fell asleep listening to the Paul preach in the window and he fell out of the third loft, all right? Paul didn't hold any bars back when he preached. Preaching all night, it was his last time. He wasn't gonna let anything get missed, all right? He's going to cover all of the bases and go around another time probably, all right? I like that, by the way. Anyways, you say, don't emulate it, Pastor. Well, I hold it in. You may not realize that. Maybe you probably do. You know me too well, right? But my message length, I'm cutting stuff as we go. God's word is so full and rich. Anyway, but those messages are really important in the book of Acts to give us clues on how to deliver God's word to a world that's not listening but needs it. Or to antagonists, people that know the truth of the Old Testament but don't have the right interpretation. And then even, get a load of this. This may be helpful for you and I. Chapter 24, 25, and 26 are all preaching, but they are defense that Paul makes before government officials of his Christianity. You know, those chapters may become very precious to us in the days ahead and how to defend our faith. I'll give you a real quick clue. Paul didn't hold anything back either there. He was real quick to share the exact truth. Now, he tailored it at times for the exact audience that he was at. I look at Acts chapter 22 and chapter 23, when he's before the Sanhedrin, and it makes me laugh. He gets those guys fighting each other. I mean, it about tears him apart. The Roman soldier has to come in and rescue him. But it's he knew exactly what to say at the right moment. I hope that God gives us that wisdom too. Now, God's promised it to us. Jesus promised it in the Gospels that don't worry, when you're before the opposition, the Lord will help you speak the right things, all right? Anyway, that's really critical for us even to this day. So the book of Acts is very important. Okay, date and place. Well, the best guess we have, probably 60 to 62 AD. If you remember from the book of Luke, we said 60. Maybe it was slightly before that. Why do we say that? Well, we know that he wrote Acts after Luke, because here in verse 1 he says, the former treatise. Okay, so that one was already written and sent off to Theophilus. How much time was between? I don't know. It appears as though it was a little bit of time. I have a hunch, if I can put it that way, as you read through the book of Acts and you consider it with what he said in Luke, that I'm not sure that Luke originally planned on two volumes. Maybe he did, but he wrote the gospel, really important for Theophilus, and then as life was going on in this new church age dispensation, he realizes, you know, my friend Theophilus needs this too. And so it could have been some time, maybe a couple years or something like that, where between it's like, okay, I'm going to finish up. We do know that more than likely it was before the burning of Rome in AD 64. You can see on our notes. More than likely that would have been mentioned. of course, we leave Paul at the end of the book of Acts in Rome in a prison. He didn't get burned out, okay? So that's another simple clue. It was obviously before the death of Paul, because Paul was still alive and well at the end of the book of Acts. And we know that his death was somewhere between 66 and 68 during the reign of Nero. We know it was before the destruction of Jerusalem, which was 70 AD. That would have, I'm sure, been mentioned because of some of the theological issues that were going on in through the book of Acts as Paul was trying to help them, Jews, go beyond Judaism and so forth, even Peter. So Luke, I'm sure, would have mentioned the destruction of the temple worship had that already taken place. So it would seem logical that Luke wrote Acts while Paul was in prison in Caesarea and or Rome. Acts chapter 24 makes a mention of Paul being in the prison in Caesarea for two whole years. Went over from Jerusalem to Festus. Felix. Felix hears him, but to placate the Jews, he just keeps him in prison. Well, it was 2 years later where he is removed from power. Festus comes in his place, and that's where that comment is made in Acts chapter 24. So for 2 years, Paul has been what we might think is languishing in the prison, but he and Luke were probably both writing during those years. You don't write a book like Acts or even like Luke in a day. And I'm sure if it was some of the normal processes, I understand we're dealing with inspiration here, but there might have been some revision work as he wrote some things down. We know, because he says it in Luke in particular, that he gathered other sources so he had to read. He did a lot of research in preparation for the writing of the gospel, and probably he lived through a lot of this, but then maybe did further research himself. So that took some time. And so he goes from Caesarea, Paul does, finally gets on the boat, gets over to Rome, and then we know at the end of Acts chapter 28, I have the reference there for you, where it's mentioned he was two full years there in his own hired house. He wasn't in a prison cell. He was in a hired house, had Roman soldiers there. Whether they were always shackled to him, it could be that that was the case. A Roman soldier would come and put a shackle on his wrist. Paul had the other end of the shackle on his wrist so that Paul could never get away. If he did, he'd have to drag this big Roman soldier with him, and the Roman soldier had a free hand to take care of him. Okay, makes sense? So anyways, he was in his hired house, so allowed to have people to come in and out, so he's interacting again, another possibility that Luke wrote during those times as well. I've tried to, in the best way I know how, to write down the theme in one, it's a lengthy sentence, but one sentence, as we see here from Luke himself, as he writes the book of Acts, why did he write this book? And so here I didn't give you any blanks, I just wrote it out for you. Acts is the historical record, so emphasizing the history that's there, of Christ's doing and teaching, and you might want to, in the margin of your notes, write 1 verse 1 there, because that's where I get those words, doing and teaching. So Acts is a historical record of Christ doing and teaching, of course, following his ascension, through his witnesses. That's verse 8 of chapter 1. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. So Acts is a recording of this, of Christ doing and teaching through his witnesses, especially the apostles. And you'll see the importance of that in a minute. He focuses on some key leaders throughout the book. In the establishment of his, talking about Christ's church, for all people in this time, or in this age, or this dispensation, if you want to put that word there for time. So again, let me read it now as we walk through it. Read it all again. Acts is the historical record of Christ's doing and teaching following his ascension through his witnesses, especially the apostles, in the establishing of his church for all people, Jews and Gentiles, in this time, the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church. Remember, I mentioned as we talked about the book of John, I said, we don't know, this is just some of my thinking, but why didn't they put Luke and Acts together if they were like volume 1 and volume 2? I mean, they did that with 1 and 2 Corinthians and some of the other books in the Old Testament and so forth. Remember, we talked about the book of John is in many ways a theological treatise dealing with the living out, well, the key theme of John was the word believe. Believe, and there was all the different words that reference belief. And so we really find in the book of Acts the living out of the faith in Jesus Christ. So if I could put it this way, in Luke, the story of Christ begins. We stop for a pause in the book of John. It's a long pause because it's a powerful pause. Dealing with the theology of what it is to believe in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And now the story continues in the book of Acts. So the story continues now with a really good theological understanding of what's going on. That these are believers now living out their faith, following the Lord's commands in the book of Acts. And their faith is demonstrated in how they live. And there's not a more powerful testimony to the work and witness of Christ than the stories, the real stories, the history that we have recorded in the book of Acts. We would be very diminished as a church family, as a Christian body, had we not had this recorded. Of course, God knew that. That's why it's inspired and put in the book of Acts. But love this book and live out its examples in your life. Okay, so as we come to the volume, and we'll just get started here and obviously be done for the night, what I've done is you can see on the bottom of the first page going on to the second page is I've divided the book down just by chapter. Again, I'm taking this in a little bigger chunk, taking more time on the volume of the book because of its importance to who we are as a church family, who we are as Christians in this day and age. All these stories are significant. There is not an insignificant story in the book of Acts. Of course, God doesn't use inefficient words, but they're important. So we're going to walk through the story, and I'm hoping that this will help you. And the way I structured the outline, it's not some kind of acrostic or anything. It's meant for you to be able to plug in the actual incidences in the book of Acts. So as you are reading through the epistles, your mind can then reference again, what was I reading about? And then as you come personally to study the book of Acts, as you walk through every verse, this will just help guide your thinking. What are the main themes or the main points of each of these chapters? Okay, so chapters 1 and 2, we have the first couple that are combined. I call it the start of the church. I'm not the only one that calls it that, essentially. We have in chapter 1, of course, Christ is speaking to his disciples right at the very beginning, and then he ascends. He gives them, in Luke's words, another commission. It's not like the Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I am with you always. But his great commission probably is expressed best in verse number 8 of chapter 1. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part. That word witness, I often, at least when I was growing up as a believer and into my adult life, when I thought of witnessing, I thought about sharing. That's the word that I would make a synonymous with. sharing. I'm going to go share the story of Christ, the truth of the gospel. Really, that word witness is to bear witness like you would in a court, to attest. This is right. You see, I am called to be God's witness. He's on trial in this world, isn't he not? Is he not? They don't believe him. And he wants me to attest to the fact that he's real, that his truth is right. And I bear witness to him. So ye shall be witnesses unto me. My focus in sharing the gospel ought to be that that person I'm sharing with knows Christ. Now, part of knowing Christ is to get saved, because that's accepting him as Savior and Lord. But this is critical, because there are times and there are people in churches that have really come to what I believe is really almost a false declaration of the gospel. We've called it easy believism. Pray this prayer and you get saved and you'll have eternal life. And there is no concern about that person knowing Jesus. In the sense of who he is, what he's done, why it is that you can trust him. It treats salvation like magic, and it's not magic. Right? That's the important thing. So understand that often, and I hope this is an actual encouragement, because the reality is, the first time you share the gospel with someone, the good news of Jesus Christ, they generally don't accept it. Is it because you're a failure? No, because you can't tell them everything about Christ in a moment. Now, again, stop and consider what happens in the book of Acts. I'm so thankful for the book of Acts. You say, well, Paul, it seemed like everywhere he went was leading souls to Christ. Yes, consider where he went. He walked into a city, and where did he go first? The synagogue. Why did he do that? Well, because they're Jews, and he's in with the Jews. No! No, because they already had a huge foundation about who God was and what God was doing in the world. Now, they had some misunderstandings about it, obviously. But they were the ones waiting for the Messiah. They just had to connect the truth that they knew from the Old Testament to Jesus Christ. That Christ, the one who died on the cross, that your leaders, that you maybe were a part of, crucified on the cross, he is our Savior, and he has fulfilled the Old Testament. So he already had a foundation there. Guess what happens, and we're going to get there, but guess what happens in Acts chapter 17 when he's dealing with a bunch of pagans in Athens? It gives us one name of somebody that gets saved. And Paul had been preaching for a while. And one person, and there was plenty that didn't believe. They said, this is crazy. I've never heard of this before. That's the normal response. So don't be discouraged when you share the gospel, when God gives you the opportunity. And it's like, I got to share the gospel. I told them about how they were sinners, how that Christ died for their sins, that he rose again from the dead, that they need to simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he will give them eternal life. He will come live with them and be their Lord and master of their life. And they didn't get saved. What's the matter? They still need to know much about Christ. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Teaching them, growing them. And that often happened when you're dealing with people that had no foundation in Judaism, in the Old Testament. Paul was in Corinth. How long? 18 months at least. Ephesus, maybe up to 3 years. Now you say, that's still a miracle. Yes, salvation is always a miracle. But you understand it doesn't just happen like that. So, if you run into somebody at the store and they have no background in Christianity and understanding a lot of those concepts, the normal process is you're not going to lead them to the Lord that day. You better set up a time to get back with them and sit down and become their friend and continue to teach them God's truth about who Jesus is. You are to bear witness to Jesus Christ. And so the book of Acts is really recording all of that. So as we start in chapter 1, we see them bearing witness. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. A number of Jews, the Spirit of God is able to work in their heart. They have the Old Testament understanding. He's He's preaching right at the temple site. All right? And they had just 40 days or so, 50 days, 50, it was about 50 days, I'm sorry, ahead of that, had seen Christ on the cross. And the Lord works in their heart and they understand that Jesus is the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And they put their trust in Him. Of course, the New Testament, that's where the Spirit comes and with cloven tongues of fire rests on the heads of the 120 disciples that draws the attention, that attests, it's a physical attestation, all right, manifestation that God is doing something great here, all those things. And so the church begins. And we're starting to stop right now, okay? we'll get into it next week. So, chapter 1 and 2, the start of the church, the start of the church, the very first church there in the city of Jerusalem. Okay, well, I trust that you maybe this week, maybe I encourage you since we're partway through, why don't you read through the book of Acts? It's 28 chapters. It's a fast read. It's just a good, exciting read. And then this might help even enliven you as we look at the rest of the book coming next week. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we've concentrated and focused on a part of the theme tonight that we are witnesses for you. Help us to bear testimony, to attest to the fact that you are God. Lord, help us to be your witnesses, your ambassadors. And Lord, help us not be discouraged when people rebel against it. They responded that way to you too. Help us to continue to be faithful in bearing witness. And Lord, we do ask that you would use our witness as we share the Word of God and the Spirit of God works in hearts, that we would see souls come to Christ. We continue to desire and long to be able to see people here in Roscoe and Rockton in particular come to know the Lord. So help us in our daily living to bear witness for your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, trust you have a good rest of the week. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday or Sunday. Good night.